Romans chapter number 1. I want to begin reading in verse number 16. We'll be kind of all over the chapter this morning. But I want to share a thought with you that God put on my heart. Let's stand in reverence to the Word of God, starting with verse number 16. The Bible said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead." Notice, so that they are without excuse. In verse number 21, "Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." You can be seated. Pray with me a moment, please. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege to be in the house of God. Thank you for this book, the Holy Bible. God, I pray this morning that you'd clothe us in our calling. Help us to deliver our Father that you've put in our heart. God, I pray, Lord, that in these days, God, you'd honor us with your presence. Honor us with your power. Father, I pray today that you'll speak to our hearts. Help us, we do pray, in Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. This phrase has jumped out at me. Actually, I didn't have my Bible open when I was meditating on the Word of God. I had to go back and look at it. The little phrase, "neither were thankful." Neither were thankful. I doubt if very many people would think of it in this light, but much of what's going on in our country and around the world is a result of an unthankful spirit. Many of the problems that we face in America is because there are people that they believe that God owes them something and that the taxpayer owes them something, and they don't believe what the Bible teaches about salvation. I want to say this morning, if you are a thankful individual, it is by the grace of God that you're a thankful individual and that you understand what we really deserve. Folks would ask my dad, "How you doing, John?" Dad would respond, "Better than I deserve." Dad understood something. He understood that because of our sin nature and because of our sin, all we ever really deserved was to be separated from God in an awful place called hell. So Dad understood, and he realized that as long as he was saved by the grace of God, he would always be better off than he deserved. You say, "Pastor, how long is a person saved by the grace of God?" Forever. You ever get saved by the grace of God, honey? It has a beginning, but it has no end. Forever, forever. I thought about this, and there's I'm trying my best to get home with the message. There's so much ground to cover. But if we're not careful when we're raising our children, we're just tickled to death if they're not on alcohol, or if they're not on drugs, or if they're not in jail, if they're not stealing. But there's a couple of attitudes in the Scripture that we really need to watch out for. One is an unthankful spirit, and the other is the spirit of rebellion. In most homes today, like I said, as long as a child is not doing drugs or not drinking or not sleeping around in immorality. These other things are kind of just let go. But I'm telling you, an unthankful spirit, when I get done this morning, I think you'll understand it can lead down a dark road. Amen. And I believe that all of us, we ought to exemplify a thankful spirit to those around us, to those we work with, to our children, to our spouses. Amen. This morning, turn with me, if you will, to the book of Timothy just a moment. I want to show you a verse of Scripture over here that I think will help us to understand. I believe it's in Timothy. Let me look here and see. Yes. In 2 Timothy chapter number 3, the Bible said, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Watch this now. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers." Watch this now. "Disobedient to parents." It breaks my heart. Then the next word is unthankful. You see that? Unholy. Then you get down without natural affection. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. So God says in the last days, one of the things that's going to be prevalent is an unthankful spirit, a heart that is not grateful. Amen. I'm telling you by experience, I know both ways. When you're walking in this world and that spirit of pride creeps up in you and you begin to think you've accomplished something, I'm telling you, you'll complain because the steak's not done just right. You'll complain. Amen. Because you don't have exactly what you want to eat. But if your spirit is right with God, I'm telling you, a peanut butter cracker tastes so much better. Say amen. Because you realize a peanut butter cracker that's clean is way more than you ever deserved. Amen. By the way, I'll go ahead and give you something I saw on the news. They've determined now. You know, it'd be good if they just determined everything, but they've determined now that whole milk's good for you. I just thought of that when I was thinking about a peanut butter cracker. Man, how can you have peanut butter crackers without a glass of milk? Amen. But I'm telling you, beloved, listen, there's something here. The Bible said neither were thankful. Let me plow into this. It's going to take a little while. Y'all all right? Everybody take your seatbelt, pull it across, buckle up. Amen. Here we go. Amen. Neither were thankful. I want to give you, first of all, the dangers of an unthankful spirit. The dangers of an unthankful spirit. Look at verse number 17. The Bible said here, "For the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." First danger, beloved, in an unthankful spirit is a person losing their ability to hear. You say, "Pastor, I don't know what that's got to do with anything." Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I'm telling you, beloved, what the Bible's telling us here, neither were thankful. These people, we're going to get into it in a little while, amen. They lost their ability to hear, amen, the gospel of the Lord. They lost their ability, beloved, to obey the gospel. And then they lose their ability to see. Look in verse number 20. The Bible said, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen." Can I tell you, beloved, when there's an unthankful spirit, we don't see the trees the way we ought to see the trees. We don't see the creation the way we ought to see the creation. We don't see the Creator the way we ought to see the Creator. Amen. We don't see the river the way we ought to see the river, and the sea the way we ought to see the sea. I'm just telling you, beloved, we can lose our ability with an unthankful spirit to hear, and we can lose our ability to see. And then in verse 20, we can lose our ability to understand. The Bible said, "Being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Listen to me. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck this morning, but when you lose your ability to understand the difference between a woman and a man, you've lost a whole lot of ability. Somebody say amen. I'm just telling you, beloved, you say, Pastor, I don't understand how we got in the mess we're in. I'm trying to tell you this morning. There's a bunch of people that have an unthankful spirit about them. Amen. They just as soon destroy America. They don't thank God for our country. They don't thank God for freedom. They don't thank God for the gospel. They don't thank God for anything. There's the danger of an unthankful spirit. I was going to go to Matthew chapter 13, but the Bible said they're having eyes, they see not. And having ears, they hear not. Beloved, it's possible to have eyes and not see. Jesus was talking about that religious crowd. Amen. And the Bible said he came unto his own and his own received him not. I'm telling you, they didn't even recognize the Savior of the world. Say amen. He was right in their midst. Amen. How can somebody, a mortal man, take five loaves and two small fishes and feed 5,000? How can a mortal man step out on the bow of a ship and say, peace be still, and the waves just lay down? How can a mortal man stand outside of a tomb and say, Lazarus, come forth, after he'd been dead 4 days? How can that happen? It can't happen unless that man is the Son of the living God. And yet, that unthankful spirit blinded them to the truth of the Word of God. Secondly, not only is there the danger of the unthankful spirit, but there's the darkness of an unthankful spirit. Notice what the Word of God said here in verse number 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. I'm going to tell you something right now. When you're imagining that somebody that's been born a male can be a female, when you're imagining that a woman and a woman can procreate, or a man and a man can procreate, you're in a mess. Amen. It's a vain imagination. Amen. And the Word of God said their foolish heart was darkened. I want you to see the darkness of an unthankful spirit. Oh, you say, Pastor, what happens here? Well, let me give you something. Several things right here. Number one, it takes that darkness takes someone in a direction away from the Scripture. If you'll notice in verse number 3, I believe it is, verse number 1 and 2 in the chapter, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Let me tell you something, when someone's unthankful, they don't go to this Bible, they go away from this Bible. It leads them, that darkness leads them away from the Word of God. And then it not only leads them away from the Scripture. You see, the Bible said, the Word, thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. The Word of God said over there in John chapter number 3, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation. Listen, that light has come into the world. Light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. I'm telling you, that unthankful spirit is going to lead into a dark path, amen, away from the Scripture, away from the Savior. The Bible said, everyone that hateth evil, doeth evil, hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. The darkness takes people away. The darkness of an unthankful spirit takes them away from the Scripture. It takes them away from the Savior. In verse number 5 and verse number 6 in this chapter, the Bible said, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom ye are also called of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something right now. It won't be long. An unthankful spirit not only take you away from the Scripture and take you away from the Savior, but it'll take you away from the saints of God. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not going to hang around somebody with an unthankful spirit. I don't want that junk rubbing off on me. Say amen. Listen, I heard a preacher say one time, he said, "You ever ask somebody how they're doing, and 30 minutes later, you wish to God you hadn't asked?" Amen. I'm telling you, there are people, listen, instead of seeing what to be thankful for, all they can do is gripe and complain. Amen. I'm telling you, but this morning, that God wants us to have a thankful spirit. Neither were thankful. That's what the Bible said here. And then it takes them away from salvation. These people here had access. God said they're without excuse. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." He said, "I'm a debtor." He said, their faith, the Roman church, their faith, and who's preaching to the Romans. He said, "Your faith has been spoken of throughout the whole world." These people that, beloved, are unthankful are without excuse. It takes them away from the salvation. The Word of God said, "The Lord is my life and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" Say, "Pastor, what happened?" There, neither were thankful. It's dangerous. Number two, it puts us in a state of darkness. The Bible said their foolish heart was darkened. Amen. I'm telling you, listen to me. Listen to me. It's sad. It happens about every week now. Somebody will look at a politician and say, "What is a woman?" And they go to dancing. Amen. You say, "What do you mean dancing?" They'll never answer the question. Because there's a certain part of their group, or you understand, that'll crucify them. If they say a woman is somebody that, you know, come into this world that can have children. A woman is somebody that come into this world that wanted to be, God wanted to be a helpmeet to a man. A woman is a female. A woman is just exactly what God made her, a woman. Amen. I'm like my grandpa. He said if God made anything any better than a woman, he kept it for himself. That's what grandpa said. Amen. Everybody ought to think about their wife as a gift from God and be thankful for their wife. Amen. The darkness of an unthankful spirit. Then I want you to think about this. The destruction of an unthankful spirit. Three little words. Neither were thankful. Right in the middle of a chapter. And if you look at it, it's 32 verses. And the first 17 verses, if you doubled that, it'd be 34. So almost half of the chapter is positive. And then the other half is negative. And I'm trying to tell you this morning, beloved, that negative comes about because of an unthankful heart, an ungrateful spirit. There's the danger of an unthankful spirit, the darkness of an unthankful spirit. Let's look at the destruction of an unthankful spirit. By the way, beloved, that's exactly what the Bible say. Jesus said, "I'm come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly." What about the thief? He said, "He cometh not but for to kill and to steal, and what? To destroy." That's exactly what he wants to do to your children and my children, your grandchildren and my children. That's what he wants to do to your marriage and my marriage. Hey, listen, I don't care if you've been married 72 years like Brother James, amen, and Sister Thelma. I don't care how long you've been married, beloved. Listen, there's an enemy that wants to destroy us. Why do men get to looking on the other side of the fence? I'll tell you why. Because they're not thankful for what they got on this side of the fence. Amen? Why? The youngins. I'm reminded of that teenage boy. "I'm so tired of my daddy's rules. I'm going to get out from under my daddy's thumb." "What are you going to do, son?" "I'm going to join the Marines." Man that has that kind of attitude ought to stop at the nearest hospital and let him run an MRI on his head. See if there's anything between his ears. Say amen. I'm just telling you, there's the destruction of an unthankful spirit. I want you to see this here. Listen, the Word of God said here, "And they changed the glory of God, the glory of the uncorruptible God, into an image made like a corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things." You say, "Well, Pastor, it's impossible for somebody to change the glory of God." If you look at the definition in the Greek, it means change or exchange one thing for another or to transform. And that's what's going on here, beloved. In their mind, are you listening to me? In their mind, they're right. In their mind, God's wrong. How many's got enough sense to know God ain't never wrong? Say amen. Amen. God ain't never wrong. I say that ain't again for Miss Eve. I love saying ain't for Miss Eve. Say amen. That gets her to look up from her notes every once in a while. Amen. Old Brother Ron Garris, he used to be preaching. He'd say, look up here. He'd say, that look don't scare me. I've been married 40 years. Amen. The destruction. What did it change? What did they exchange one thing for another? Number one, their worship. It's evidence. Their destruction is evidenced in their worship. Look at verse 24. The Bible said, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature, more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. You could write in the margin of your Bible right there, tree hugger. You could write in the margin of your Bible right there, California. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Oh, there's a little smelt. And if we let that water come down through here, no, let the houses burn down. They're more important, amen. That little old smelt's more important than people's houses and their livelihood. I'm just telling you, beloved, we strain at a gnat and we swallow a camel. And the reason is we're unthankful. Amen. Unthankfulness. There's the destruction. It's seen in their worship. They worship the creature more than the Creator. Let me just say this to you this morning. You can get mad if you don't too. That's all right. Get in line. You come now are going to jail over killing somebody's dog. Than you would killing their son or their daughter. You say, Pastor, you're talking about the destruction of an unthankful spirit. I'm going to tell you something right now. If I was sitting in this crowd this morning and I had even a hint of an unthankful spirit, I'd sit up and pay attention, ask God to forgive me. Because the road is dark. If you continue down that path, those children aren't a burden. They're a blessing. You look in their little eyes, you ought to be saying, thank God for my babies. Thank God for their health. Thank God for something to eat. Thank God for a place that's dry where we can lay down. Thank God we're not in a cardboard box over a steam vent somewhere trying to stay warm this winter. Thank God. It changed their worship. It was evidenced in their worship. And then secondly, not only is this destruction evidenced in their worship, it's evidenced in their wickedness. You say, Pastor, where did you get that? Start with me in verse 26. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Everybody knows what that's talking about. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of a woman, burned in their lust one to another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet. The Bible said, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them up to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness. Watch this now. A lot of people, when they think of Romans 1, they only think of one thing. They only think of sodomy as far as the wickedness. Honey, there's a whole lot more going on here than sodomy. Amen. God put that, they were unthankful. The Bible said, neither were thankful. Right in the middle of all this, watch this now, being filled with all unrighteousness. Fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness. Did you know the Bible said, I can't remember the text exactly, it said covetousness, which is idolatry? Did you know that? That's what the Word of God said. In other words, you wanting your neighbor's wife, that's idolatry. You're wanting your neighbor's car, that's idolatry. You're wanting your neighbor's job, that's idolatry. Are you listening to me all the time? Want, never satisfied. The Word of God said the eyes of man are never satisfied. Watch this now. Their wickedness. The Bible said here, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. Honey, there's a whole lot more going on in this chapter as far as wickedness.
than just sodomy. Amen. Listen, you say, Pastor, are you against sodomy? Sure I am. How can you be for God and not be against it? And what I'm trying to tell you is the rest of this mess is listed right among it. Say amen. And God wants us to see, watch this, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. I'm telling you, beloved, it's seen not only, it's evidenced this destruction in their worship, it's evidenced in their wickedness. But then lastly this morning, in this part of the message, watch this in verse 32. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. It's not only evidenced in their worship and in their wickedness, but it's evidenced in their worthiness. Did you know that God said they understand they're worthy of death? I want to tell you something right now. We're living in a generation, even with Christmas coming up, they're more than willing to celebrate that baby Jesus. But they don't see that baby Jesus as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. They don't see that baby Jesus coming back on a white horse, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp two-edged sword. There's a name written on his vesture, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm telling you, beloved, they don't understand that side. They don't understand the wrath of God. And the Bible said here that they understand that they're worthy. They not only understand that they commit such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but they have pleasure in them that do them. Let me tell you something about this kind of pleasure that's listed in this chapter. You say, Pastor, do you believe it's pleasure? Sure I do. Sure I do. You say, what do you mean? Well, you know what the Bible said about Moses? He chose rather to endure affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Let me tell you something about the pleasure of sin. Oh yes, it's pleasurable, but the season is short. If you live to be 100 years old, it'll be like a drop in the bucket. Life is but a vapor. It's here for a little while, and then it passes away. Honey, we better pay attention this morning and ask God to give us a thankful heart for the blessings that He's bestowed upon us. I want to give you this. Turn to Luke chapter 17. This is the last thing in the message. Luke chapter number 17. I'm going to give you the cure, the deliverance from an unthankful spirit. We've talked about the danger. We've talked about the darkness. We've talked about the destruction. One of our gentlemen was back there this morning, and his granddaughter was kissing on him. You know what I said? I said something to him about that, and he just grinned. I said, that's all right. Mine's coming Wednesday. Amen. Boy, how we ought to be thankful for our children and our grandchildren. Amen. Ought to be thankful. Ought to be thankful. You say, Pastor, what would deliver a person from an unthankful spirit? Well, let me read it to you. Luke chapter 17. I'll read verse 11, starting in verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Now, first of all, if you don't know Jewish history, you know that the Jews, they hated the Samaritans. So Jesus was always a little bit different than the regular Jew. You know, the woman at the well was a Samaritan. And so he finds it necessary to go through Samaria. You see that right there? Honey, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus will go where they won't nobody else go. Say amen. Ain't that good? Watch this now. Watch this. And he entered into a certain village, and there met him 10 lepers which stood afar off. You say, Pastor, why did they stand afar off? Because the law required it. Leprosy was very contagious. Amen. And the law required them to stand afar off. And the law would require them to cry out, unclean, unclean. You may not want to hear this morning, But without Jesus, every one of us are unclean. Unclean. All of sin becomes short of the glory of God. Leprosy in the Word of God is a type of sin. Watch this. And they lifted up their voices, they, 10 of them, and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Has there ever been a day in your life when you realize who the Master is and you ask Him to have mercy on you? And I'm going to tell you something. He said, He that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. Amen. Mercy. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when He saw them, He said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they didn't even make it to the priest, but as they went, the Word of God said they were cleansed. I'm showing you now the deliverance from an unthankful spirit. Watch this. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned around. He turned back. Watch this. And with a loud voice, glorified God. Brother Connor 1 and Connor 2, I don't believe he cared who was listening. I don't believe he cared what people thought. I've been carrying this leprosy. I've not been able to be among my family. I've not been able to be among the townspeople. And now I'm healed. I don't give a rip what you think. I'm going to praise the Lord. Amen. With a loud voice, he glorified God. Watch this now. The Bible said, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And the Word of God had to put this in there. And he was a Samaritan. You know what he understood? He understood that it was unusual that Jesus would come to where he was. He understood, Brother Chris, he didn't deserve for Jesus to come to where he was. He understood that he didn't deserve the healing that Jesus had provided for him. And the Bible said here he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? I can't prove this. I've got an idea. Amen. It's not theology, it's Rickology. But I'm going to tell you what I believe I picked up on here. The Word of God said here, there are not found that return to give glory to God, save this, watch this, stranger. Amen. Are you listening to me? Watch this now. And Jesus said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. How many remembers the story of the blind man? You remember the story when Jesus healed the blind man? He got his sight. You remember that? But then a little bit later, down a few verses in chapter 9, I believe, of John, down just a few verses, Jesus said, do you believe on the Son of God? Who is he, Lord? That I'm not, the same that healed you, I'm he. He said, I believe. Amen. So he got his physical sight first, but he got his spiritual sight second. Amen. I believe that's exactly what happened here. This man, beloved, he got his leprosy healed on the outside. But glory to God, he got his sin healed on the inside. Jesus said, thy faith has made thee whole. How in the world do you get away from an unthankful spirit? Just meet the Savior. When you meet the Savior, it'll turn it around. Watch this now. There's several things going on right here. We see him returning. He turned back. You know, there's a song. I can't remember all the words of it, but I like the song. It says, I have returned to the God of my fathers. Amen. The God of my father. The most God-like man that I've ever known. You remember that song? I have returned. There's a returning that goes on here. Secondly, there's a rejoicing. With a loud voice, he glorifies God. And the Word of God said, and he was a Samaritan. He's given him thanks. There was a remembering. He remembered. It would do us good this Thanksgiving season to remember where Jesus found us. Remember how filthy we were when he found us. Amen. Remember how clean we were. Just one touch of the Master's hand. Amen. Remember His mercy. Listen, the Word of God is telling us here, if we will meet Jesus, if we'll realize our need, if we will believe, I believe these, all of them believe that God could meet their need. Jesus, have mercy on us. Amen. They're hollering, have mercy on us. But then we need to call on Him to meet that need. We need to know we have a need. We need to believe that Jesus can meet that need. The title of the Christmas play is No Other Name. Now I'm glad I can stand here without one doubt in my mind, with no hesitation whatsoever, and tell you there's only one that can meet your need. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. You got to realize you have a need, and then you got to believe He can meet that need. And then you just come to Him and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, just like You said, I'm a sinner, but I believe You're the Savior. I believe You're the one that loved me, the one that died for me, the one that rose again the third day. And right now, Lord, I'm receiving You as my Lord and my Savior. You say, Pastor, what will happen? You'll be delivered from an unthankful spirit. Amen. Listen to me this morning. The Bible used these three words, neither were thankful. I don't want that to be said of me to you. Neither were thankful. Oh, Brother Vinoy, he wasn't thankful for his wife. He wasn't thankful for his family. He wasn't thankful for his church. He wasn't thankful for his blessings. Oh, my goodness. You say, well, Pastor, that don't sound too bad. Oh, no. No, we're living in a society. Oh, Brother Vinoy got drunk. That'd be awful. But I'm telling you this morning, to be unthankful, just as awful as anything you can read in this Word, in this Bible, the Word of the living God. Let's bow for prayer this morning. Thank You for coming. Father, I thank You today for the privilege to come in Your presence. I ask You today in the name of Jesus, our Lord, to help us today. Lord, that we'd ever be a thankful people. God, I pray today that, Lord, not one under the sound of my voice would experience the destruction that comes from being unthankful. Lord, I pray today, Lord, that You would help us not to be in that crowd in the end of the chapter, but to be in that crowd in the beginning of the chapter, where their faith was spoken of throughout the whole world. Help us to be a thankful people. God will give You glory. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.